It got my mojo going. You know, there's a lot of different definitions of revive. And one of the definitions is to restore from an inactive or an unused state, to renew the mind or the memory. You know, over the past few months or so, some of us have been pretty blessed and fortunate enough to sit through and be exposed to a lot of great teachings, resources, research, and, you know, practical or foundational information to help us understand what we mean in God's Word. You know, Bob Cardin's class on getting to know God better really kind of gives us, but those of us that are looking to know God better, an understanding on how the Word does fit so well and makes sense. You know, like the Word tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a verse I know. We all know it very well. And I'm sure for most of us, I know for me, the class, it kind of recharged my battery, so to speak. It revived something that maybe I haven't been looking at for some time or thought about for quite a while. So, you know, when I came across this one particular verse, again, I should say, I says, wow, thanks, Father. And, you know, by applying some of the basic foundational principles and keeping it simple, that's the thing. I'm a simple guy, so we got to keep things simple here. We can see that, how the word fits. You know, what might seem to be confusing or an apparent contradiction, it now begins to make sense. You know, when I was first shown God's word, I was that guy that said, all right, show me. And I was shown. And like so many, many of us, we continued our quest or our journey to understand the word, the rightly divided word. And sometimes we come across a verse that just doesn't seem to fit with what we're reading. So we start asking ourselves certain questions. There's a particular verse of scripture. Actually, it's two verses of scripture in this instance. And anyone reading them can see that something ain't right with them. They just don't seem to fit. But you know what? Pastors still teach on it. You can read commentary after commentary about it and what they think. And I know we've all seen it. We've read it. We all know it from being workmen of the word. When something doesn't fit with the context, something's wrong. So we started asking ourselves questions. Do we understand the context? What's the topic? And we've got to look at the time. Time is always involved. So it doesn't fit with the rest of the story. These are just a few of the questions we start asking ourselves as students or workmen of the word. The verse that I'm talking about, it's Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were open, and many of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. You know, I think we can all see that something's wrong with these verses. They don't fit. From what we know about the word, this seems to be a contradiction. How could the dead saints, whoever they are, be raised at this time? Christ has just been crucified. He hasn't been raised yet. That's 3 days later. Well, maybe this has all been talked about somewhere before, or used somewhere else. We know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all reference and talk about the same stories, but only through the eyes of different guys, different men. So the same story, seen through different eyes. And the Gospels do harmonize with each other. They do agree, and they do fit. You got three stories on the same subject, crucifixion of Christ, but told through three different men. So just to set the story tonight, Christ has just been crucified. And in Matthew 51, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, Mark says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom. Both agree, they're kind of pretty much the same story. Luke 23:47, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. It's a pretty important event that happened, a major event, but it's described or told by three different men. Now we look at Matthew 27:54. That says, now when the centurion and they that were with him saw, they said, truly, this is the Son of God. Mark 15:39 says, and when the centurion saw, they said, this is the Son of God, saying the same thing, same story. Luke 23:47 says, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. They're all the same accounts, not described exactly the same way, but, you know, we can all see that it is the same account or the story recording the same important event. Then we go to Matthew 27:52. and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. In 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, he went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I said, huh, that seems pretty astounding and important, wouldn't you think? Just by sheer logic, that something so miraculous or so wonderful would also be recorded or written down in the other Gospels, but it's not. This is the only place. So the question comes up, why here and not there? It really kind of throws the harmony or the unity off the Gospels. So we begin to dig a little bit deeper. We find some pretty interesting stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't looking for somebody to agree on what I think, only on what the Word says. So here's some information that I found out that we can all make up our own minds, whether you think it fits or it doesn't. I came across a word called a scribal interpolation. It's not an interpretation. It's a long word. Not too complicated to understand. Here's the meaning of it. It's the insertion of something of a different nature into something else to play a major part in the redaction of the inspired Word of God. In other words, it means to edit, censure, or obscure. In the Bible, it's the art of adding words, phrases, or entire sentences, thus fitting into what the scribe wants to convey. When this happens, we no longer have the Word of God. You know, I also found out that certain scribal modifications of the text occurred before the Council of Nicaea, 4th century, and that such a scribal insertion could easily have found its way into all existing manuscripts. We cannot prefer a reading simply because it is widely attested, no matter how early it's first witnessed, when strong arguments can be mounted against its legitimacy. In other words, if it don't fit, question it. We all know that 2 Peter 1:20 tells us that knowing this first, not second, not last, but knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, most scholars who view this verse, these verses 52 and 53 as interpolations, suggest that the scribe who inserted the phrase was motivated by theological concerns. Consequently, the insertion of the phrase constitutes a very early example of orthodox corruption. When that happens, we no longer have the Word. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If it says anything other than what God's Word says, it's not the Word. I got to tell you, Dr. Weirwo's book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, goes over this. I got to read this to you right out of the book. It's on page 269 in footnote number 23, verses 52 and 53 of Matthew 27. It says are clearly scribal additions. Matthew 27, 52 and 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Says manuscript 354 in Venice's Italy omits these verses. Though other textual documentation for this has not yet been found, it must be realized that the earliest manuscript including this section of Matthew 27 dates from the 4th century AD. These verses must be an addition since they are contrary to other scriptures which teach us that the dead are dead and will remain so until Christ returns. Till that time, only Christ has been raised bodily from death unto everlasting life. Textual critics, as well as marginal notes in other old manuscripts, have recognized these verses as later interpolations. The phrase after his resurrection in Matthew 27:53 demonstrates the passage is totally out of context, obviously a scribal addition. You know, how cool is that? How awesome is that? You know, when we find that answer to a question that, you know, maybe it never really made sense to you in the past, but once you understand it and you see it for yourself, it just kind of opens up the Word in so many wonderful ways. You know, we can be so thankful for classes and seminars like Ken Petty's As Deep Waters and Bob Carden's Getting to Know God Better. It helps us to understand what we're reading and be able to check it out for ourselves and see what may appear to be, you know, contradiction or a misunderstanding. It becomes understandable when we start applying a few of the basic principles in being that workman of God's rightly divided Word. You know, we look at the verse, we look at the context, we see if it's been used before, and we get to whom it's written. And time is so important. We got to look at the time. These are just a few questions that play such an important part in our understanding of how to walk with God and understand His Word. You know, guys, there are many, many, many critics out there who's going to explain these verses away and give you what they think. Well, I know what I see and what I understand, and it's awesome when you get to see it for yourself. This is just one brief, very small example of how wonderful and exciting it is to be a workman of the Word and to see the Word of God fit like a hand in a glove. And to know that what we know, it's great, it's wonderful, but you know, we need to share it. What we know, we need to share with other folks, guys. We have so much research and so much resources available to us today. Man, are we ever blessed. We're living in some crazy times, we all know, but ain't it great to be alive today and to know what we know and to be able to share God's Word, His rightly divided Word, and understand what we're reading with others. We know people are out there and they're hungry and they want to know. You know, guys, we know that there are some places out there that don't have the opportunities and the freedoms that we have. We are so blessed and thankful. Faithful leaders, for teachers in the Word, and awesome believers, God's kids, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and I'm thankful for nights like this to share a little bit of God's Word and maybe just spark something that says, hey, let me take a look at that again. Maybe a revive that interest or that desire that we all have to, like I said, maybe recharge our batteries. We do all have so much resource available to us today to help us understand what we're reading so we can apply what we know to our lives and live a life that's worth living. So, guys, that's kind of what I wanted to share with you all tonight. I'd like to close with a prayer. Thank you, Father. I want to thank you tonight for this word that you've given us, God, and all you do, and for all you continue to do us, Father, and for all you show us. Father, sometimes thank you just doesn't seem to be enough to express how we feel. But we do say thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, and being able to recognize you in our lives. I thank you, Father, for your kids, for this family that you've called us to, for continuing to watch, bless, protect, and keep us healthy, Father. And I want to thank you, Father, for continuing to open our eyes to the greatest secret in the world today, your Word. Your wonderful Word, Father, your wonderful, matchless Word. And Father, tonight we lift our country up to you. Watch over them, Father. Protect our leaders and our military, our police, our EMTs, and all that are in harm's way. Father, I don't know how you do it, but you do it. And we are so thankful for your unconditional love that you've given us, God. Father, we thank you for the hope of the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. All we can say, God, is thank you, we love you, and we give you all the praise and the glory tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.